Thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of baptizing a child today into the family of God. We thank you, Jesus, and we praise your name. Holy God, we just bless you for how good you've been to us. And as we gather here in this place in the United States of America, where we have the freedom to worship you, we give you thanks, Lord God. And so, Holy God, now come by here. Come by here, Lord God, and touch us. Those who need to be touched, come by here, Lord God, and heal someone. Come by here, Lord God, and provide for someone, Lord God. Come by here. Come by here, my Lord. Come, Lord God. Come in the name of Jesus. Come because you're God. Come because you love us, Lord God. Come by here. And let our coming not be in vain. And touch us again with your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. And now, friends, you know, we have heard the music, we heard the scriptures, we could just all go home, I guess. First, we have to baptize the baby, right? We're going to do that after this. But certainly, we do love to worship and praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. For God is, our God is awesome. You know, when you hear of the earthquake in Turkey and Syria and the shooting and some of the bad weather throughout the country and all of that. And at this moment, we have been speared right here in the Northeast. We have so much to be thankful for. At this moment, we always have things to be thankful for, but Lord knows things are bad in the world. And so we want to ask God to come by here. They tell us things are flying over. They don't know if it's what those things, UFO. One of us could be sitting somewhere and we'll just disappear. Don't want to bring any fear to anybody now. All these things are on the news and maybe it's not. And say, if you don't see me next Sunday, who knows? They probably took me in the balloon. But wherever they take me, I'll be preaching the word. They'd have to take my mouth up. And I'm probably sure some people want to do that here, but you cannot. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So here I am today, glad to be back with you. And my sermon title is, Jesus Cannot Be Confined to Dwellings. Oh, I have this. Hopefully it's working over here. Got a little problem with my iPad. But I want to begin with reading this little reflection for you. I don't know if you've heard about it, right? A revival is taking place on the campus of Asbury University in Kentucky. Have you heard about it? And this is true. Right? A revival. It's a university in Kentucky, right? The paper reports, and it's all on Facebook, and I was going to take a little trip to go down there to get into the revival. I was planning. I said, I got to go to Kentucky, but I got to get here. I got to come to church. Got to figure out maybe I have to take a couple days and go. It says the Asbury Collision reports that during a call to confession last Wednesday, February 8, 2023, at least 100 people fell on their knees and bowed at the altar. Here's I'm giving you, yes, thank you, man. Yes, just put that up for me. Okay, good, because my little iPad is giving me a little bit of problem. Thank you. All right, right. And they fell on their knees and bowed at the altar. Since then, it has turned into a Holy Spirit outpouring that shows no signs of stopping. For days, people have been giving testimonies, reading scriptures, worshiping God, and praying in an ongoing revival. Students, professors, and local church leaders have taken part. Right? Alexandra, and they went up to the next slide. All right, pause there for a minute. Great. Thank you, man. Alexander Preston, the editor of the student-run website, the Asbury Collision, wrote in an article published on February 8th, As a senior, I have never witnessed anything like this. Preston described the scene for her readers inside the university Hughes Auditorium. Peers, professors, local churches, and seminary students surround me, all of them praying, worshiping, and praising God together. Voices are ringing out. People are bowing at the altar. Arms are stretched wide, she wrote. A pair of friends cling to each other in a hug, one with tears in her eyes. A diverse group of individuals crowd the piano and flawlessly switch from song to song. Some even sit on a computer like she has on her laptop, and no one wants to leave. And people are coming from all over the world. Now it's spread on faith, and they're coming from all to go to Kentucky to this revival. The Holy Spirit was tangible in the room. Amelia White, a student of the University of Kentucky and a member of the Emmanuel Baptist Church, told the Kentucky Today. Chains were broken. Confession happened, and God was praised as holy, holy, holy. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord God, let it happen here. Can't it happen here? On Sunday, Preston explained to her readers, it was love that brought the people together for more than 100 hours inside the university's auditorium. Time brings all this to light, but certainly it is an encouragement. As they watch, they say, we need to pray for the Lord's protection on them, one writer says, because we know that folks will go crazy and go there, but we need to pray for the Lord's protection on them. Students and other people are watching the revival through social media. I went on to watch it myself. Something that hasn't happened in other campus revivals, Kentucky Today noted. It has drawn a broader audience to witness what is happening through the witness accounts, photographs, and video. The outlet reported that parents and students said driving to the campus to visit and to worship with their sons and daughters. Just watching. The Holy Spirit is there. It's been one of the most incredible things I've ever seen God do. He's in our midst, and he's moving. Amen. And he's moving. Yesterday, it was a super windy outside, he noted, and there was a cloud over the horizon that sat over our town. People have come in from the University of Kentucky, from Northern Kentucky, all around the world. The world knows what God is doing here. They could see the cloud over our town. Isn't this amazing? And it's true, because all a bunch of people I've known have gone, and this university is, Asbury University is a private Christian university in Wilmore, Kentucky, with roots in the Wesleyan holiness movement, right? Because Asbury was a Methodist bishop, right? Bishop Asbury. It's a Methodist, and the move of the Spirit is moving there. Now, the next slide, yeah, right? You're jumping ahead of me, but thank you, man, because they don't have a problem here. The next slide tells us that it is not the first time that this has happened there. There was a revival in 1970, February 1970. The same place. Something awesome is happening in that place. And now I want to go there just to catch it. Just to get a feel of the Holy Spirit moving in that place. And it is just amazing. And here's what they say. Some are saying it's reminiscence of the famous revival that took place at Asbury in 1970, partly because both events are tied to turbulent times in American history. When there are turbulent times in American history, they have noted these revivals start up. Because God wants to tell us that God is moving in our lives. And that God has not forgotten us. And they've traced it back to see that. They says the move of the Holy Spirit began on February 3rd of that year. Same time it began here, February 3rd of that year, and lasted 24 hours a day for 7 days. We know what seven means, that perfect, that number. God created the world in 7 days, according to the reports at the time. Something is happening. Even in the midst, we know the newspaper, and I must say this is all in the newspapers, all the newspapers and so on. But we know we see all the terrible things on the news, don't we? And we don't always hear the good things that are happening to this extent until God sends it to you. Till God sends it to you. I know that one of my colleagues had sent it to me and I'd forgotten. And then one of our members who's probably watching now, Daphne Stamp, called the office and said, you know, tell the pastor there's this revival going because she knows that I love revivals. Amen? And Mr. told me and I said, yes, I've been reading about it. And here we are, the Spirit of the Lord. You see, God cannot be, the Holy Spirit cannot be confined. Jesus cannot be confined in dwellings or monuments or buildings. Yes, we come into a place to worship, but we need to have the freedom to worship the Lord. And then he will show up, you see? Peter missed the point of the transfiguration. Peter missed the point, you know, because he didn't get it. How strangely confused Peter was, is evident by his suggestion. Imagine making tabernacles for Moses and Elijah to say nothing of the master. Right? So Peter missed the point, and we don't want to miss the point. Right? And if God, I'm bringing this to you now so that we could be ready to open up for revival in this place. When we start our time of prayer, our season of prayer next week, our deliberate season of prayer, we are expecting a revival. We want it to happen in the New York Annual Conference. We want it to happen here. We want it to happen all over Hicksville, all over Levittown, all over East Meadow, wherever it is. We want Christian believers to rise up and worship God. Amen. Send the revival, Lord God. Send the revival. Because we want a revival. We need a revival in our lives. We need a revival in our country. Because if anyone thinks they have the answer to all the killing and all the murdering, you can't even go to the mall. And it could happen here because we're not exempt, not because we're so good on Long Island. We need to be on our knees before the Lord. Send the revival. On this Transfiguration Sunday, I wanted to bring this story to you so you could see that God is moving. The Holy Spirit is alive. And Jesus is in our midst. And if we freely call on him, he'll come. Next slide. I'm not staying that long today because you know I have a baptism. So I just want to give my several points here. Oh, praise God. And here it is. Jesus cannot be confined to dwellings. Jesus did not come to be confined in dwellings. Jesus came to be what? To be in a human heart. To be in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is in our heart and should touch us so that we could move and worship the Lord. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And then we'll be free. So my first point is, it is always good to be in the presence of the Lord. Always. Whether you came here for a baptism and you didn't really want to come, but you're coming for the baby. Whether you don't believe in God or you don't care about church and you haven't been in 20 years, God ordained it that little Jude would need baptism and he would have a pastor here filled with the Holy Spirit to be here to tell you that the Holy Spirit is alive and living in you. And Jesus may just touch you right this moment and touch me and touch you. Because it was ordained that you would be here today. Before you were born, little Jude would have been born and you would show up. And Jesus loves you. Lord, how he loves us. And he's here today. Do we believe the Holy Spirit is here today? Yes, he is. And it's always good to be in the presence of the Lord. Because in the presence of the Lord, things happen. Bodies are healed. Souls are saved, right? Things happen, holy God. Number two, the Lord deserves our worship, praise, and thanksgiving. He deserves it. Do you see those folks worshiping him. And that's what Peter and the men did. They fell on their knees. Peter, James, and John, they fell on their knees. And in essence, in fear, they were worshiping the Lord, giving him all the glory. When we come into the presence of the Lord, he is worthy to be praised. He's worthy. His glory shone upon those men. And he's worthy to be praised and adored. And there's a saying that says, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. Sometimes you're just praising the Lord and your blessing comes. You've been waiting for that job and you show up at church and you start praising the Lord in your own way. And then they call you up and that happens. Number three, we should take time to listen to the Lord. God said on the mountain, this is my beloved son whom I love. Listen to him. How do we listen to God? During our prayer time. We listen to the Lord. I got three more points and I'm going to wrap it up because the baby got to be baptized. Now, number four. We should be receptive of the move of the Holy Spirit. You see, there are times we're not receptive. The Holy Spirit knows when we go like this. If I come into your house, you invite me to your house, and I come, and when I sit around with you all, I see you like this, I'm going to say, I better leave, because they don't want me here, right? I better leave, right? Because it is not a body movement of being receptive, right? Now, we don't have to wave our hands or anything, but the Lord knows when we want, when we're ready to receive the Spirit of God. Be receptive. Sometimes, you know what happens? We watch everybody. Oh, I can't move like that one. No, we don't have to do what anybody else does. We just open up our hearts and be receptive. Number five, we too can be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us can. What does transform mean? We can be changed. Right? The songwriter says, I look at my hands and they were brand new. I look at my feet and they were brand new. Not because they changed color or size, but because the Holy Spirit touched me and everything in my life, I feel different. Feel different. And my last point, friends, Jesus will meet us where we are. Where Jesus said, get up and don't, and do not, because I spelled do not, D-I-P. Jesus will meet us where we are. He says, get up and do not be afraid. And he's saying to all of us today, don't be afraid. He will accept us where we are. We don't have to change. We don't have to be any different. He does the changing. As I close, I'll just close with this one little short story. I had a cousin many years ago. She's close to my age now. And my aunt, who's in heaven now, her mother, would say to her, why don't you go to church? I'm from Jamaica and, you know, going to church. And things have changed now. Everybody's at the beach hanging out all day long, all night long. But going to church was a big deal, like it was over here and like it is. And she would not go to church. They said, why don't you go to church and come to church? And she said, never forget, her name is Jennifer. She says, you know, Mom, I'm partying and having a good time now. I just want to finish partying and enjoying myself. And when I get ready, whenever that age is, then I'll start going. And her mother says, do you think God is going to wait on you forever? Well, she's fortunate because God didn't take her home before time, because now, in her old age, she can't party anymore. She's now going to church. Amen? Many of us won't get that chance, will we? For tomorrow is promised to no one. And today is the day of salvation. Amen? And so, friends, I invite you to remember that Jesus will take you exactly how you are. He took me the way I was. Wasn't perfect, still not perfect. I'm a crackpot. Not like crack, like the crack, you know what I mean. I shouldn't use that word anymore. But there's a story called Jesus Will What? Use a crack pot. And he wasn't thinking, you know, it wasn't about the crack. You know the crack that's out there. Crack pot means a pot that's chips and broken. And Jesus took me and what? Put me together. Cleaned me up. Turned me around. And then used me. What a God that is. What a God that would use me to talk to his people. Me with my flaws, my imperfections, my aches and pain. And the same God that did it for me will do it for you. Amen? Remember, Jesus cannot be contained. Thanks be to God for his faithfulness to us. Amen.